Chapter 17, the book of Jeremiah. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me. But let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus said the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem. And say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord. The kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work. But hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ears, but made their necks stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle the fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you, and devise a device against you. Return ye every one from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, There is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the flock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Every one that passes thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. Then said they, Come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his word. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them, and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine, and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children, and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses, when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me, and hid snares for my feet. Yea, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger. You know, Jesus here tells us in his word, as he speaks to us, that we should hear the word of the Lord. The prophets came again and again with their glad tidings of great joy. And they came with their wonderful expressions of God and his goodness and the warnings that God had given, telling Israel not to sin, just the same way that the preachers do today. The preacher comes again and again to tell you not to sin. He travels through the land and throughout the world to tell you that you are not to sin, that you are but like pottery in the hands of the potter, and that God can at any time do what he will with you, that we're nothing but a little vessel of clay, and we're being wrought upon the wheels of the potter, and that as long as we're in this world, that we are in the potter's house, and he can do with us whatever he will, whenever he will. And that if we do not submit ourselves wholly and entirely unto him, then he will make us a vessel, not as he had intended to make, a vessel unto honor, but he will make us a vessel of dishonor. He will make us a vessel that will not be honorable, and in that it will not be honorable, God will not receive it into his great palace at the end of the day. So then when we are contrary, when we have a haughty spirit, when we have evil imagination, and when we have gossiping and backbiting and self-will and self-exaltation of thinking ourselves to be something when we're nothing, and if we take contrariness to do the way that we want to do through life, when the Word of God is so carefully outlined that we should do otherwise, then we become contrary to God, and God makes us a vessel that is not unto honor. God makes us a vessel that is not unto honor at all, and God rejects us and God casts us aside because we are of no value to God. God tells us in His Word, He says, if at any time I speak to a nation, and I say to this nation, repent of your sins. If the nation has done evil, and I have determined evil upon the nation, if this nation will repent of their sins, I will turn the evil away from them, and I will establish them as a nation. If I determine to do good to a nation, and that nation seems to be walking upright, then if at any time that nation steps aside from the instructions of the Word of the Lord, then I will withdraw my good from that nation, and I will cause that nation to perish and to taste of my wrath. You know, when I think of this, I can't help but think about America. America has been a great religious nation. She's been a great world to live in. It's been a great thing being an American. It's been a great experience to live in this wonderful country called America. The reason is not because America has been great in the sense of her ability. It isn't because she has been more beautiful than other countries. I've traveled throughout other countries, and there's countries that's fantastically beautiful. Almost breathtaking, as we say. Now, so it isn't that. It isn't that her people are more brilliant, because there are other people in the world that I've met that's exceedingly brilliant. And their brilliance excels many great people of America. It isn't because America is such a great place within her own ability, but it is because God has smiled upon America. And wherever God puts His Spirit and wherever God puts His blessings, it becomes a place of attraction. It becomes a desirable place. It becomes something that people want to look at. People want to get close to. It becomes a feeling of security where people like to dwell, and they feel at rest and they feel at peace. Oh, hallelujah. What a feeling to have a place to where you can feel the hallowed presence of God. To have a homeland of peace. And to be able to rest. But America is losing that anointing. She doesn't serve God with prayer and with fasting. She doesn't serve God in humility by submission of oneself to another. She doesn't look upon the things of another with respect to God. America doesn't walk in the Spirit anymore. She doesn't have churches that fill with the Holy Ghost. Her churches are desolate. She doesn't have the Word of God in her sanctuaries anymore. It is a make-believe. They have intellectual scholars fresh out of college. They have men that have no interest in heaven and no interest in spiritual things and no interest at all in lost humanity. But they have lectures. They have parties. They have programs. They have all kind of things. They have a lot of churches. The Bible said having a name that they live, and yet in God's book they're dead. The Bible said they say that we have need of nothing because we are rich and we have everything. And God said, "Ye know not that you are miserable and wretched and blind." So then America is not a believer. America is a make-believer. You cannot say that America is an unbeliever in the sense that she does make-believe. She is a make-believer. She has convinced herself because she is Baptist that she's going to heaven. She has convinced herself because she is Methodist that she is going to heaven. She has convinced herself that she is Pentecostal, so she's going to heaven. She has convinced herself that she can do all of the things of the world and have the love of the world in her heart, and has convinced herself that she can strip off her clothing. Her women can go nude or partly nude, and her men can do the same thing, and that they can party and drink, and they can walk in the ways of evil, and still God will forgive them and they will go to heaven. She has convinced herself of a lie. She hath made herself to believe a lie. Why does she believe a lie? The Bible said, because you have not a love for the truth, then I'll turn you over to reprobate mind. I will cause you to believe a lie and be damned. If you'll notice, God did not just say, I will turn you over to a reprobate mind to let you believe a lie and be damned. He said, I will send you strong delusions and cause you to believe a lie that you might be damned. God said, I will do that. In other words, America, because you did not believe in the Word of God when the ministry came to you, because you did not believe in the life of holiness that He commanded you to live, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life, because you made a joke out of holiness when I am the Spirit of holiness, and because you've turned to your feeble ways of life and your religious ritualistics, because you've done this and you would have none of me, and you wouldn't listen to my word, and you would not hear the word of the Lord, then America, I've turned you over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That is, the Bible said to dishonor your bodies one between one and another, and that the man burned in his lust would leave the natural use of the woman, and the woman likewise. I have done this, God said, because you did not love the truth. I have caused you to be stripped bare, that the people round about you might mock you. I've taken away your virtues. I've taken away your qualities. I've taken away all of your beauties, and your bellies are rotting with cancer, and your minds are deteriorating, and you're winding up in the insane asylum, and your little babies are being born halt and lame and blind and dumb, deaf, whatever, with broken limbs and crippled up. America, I have turned you over to a reprobate mind to cause you to believe a lie. I am sending you strong delusions. I am letting intellectual Bible scholars come into your midst and come into your churches. I'm letting celebrities come into your churches. I'm letting movie stars come into your presence. And I'm letting athletes come into your presence. And you, being gullible, will swallow it up, because I, God, am sending you strong delusions that I might cause you to believe a lie that you might be damned. All because you would not hear the word of the Lord. So then the prophet came to the land, and the prophet said, Israel, hear ye the word of the Lord. And Israel said, we will have none of God. Therefore God turned them over to a reprobate mind, and God brought his wrath upon them, and all of the diseases he brought upon them. He said, I will bring the evil botch of Egypt upon you. I will bring all of the diseases of Egypt upon you. And God said, every plague that's written in this book, I will bring it upon you. And said, not only that, every evil that is not recorded in this book, every disease that's not recorded in this book, I will also bring them upon you. But he said to those that will walk upright before me, those that will listen to me, those that will humble their hearts before me, those that will tenderize themselves and not harden their heart, those that will repent of their sins, I will bless thee, he said. There shall not be a sick one among you. I will bless you, God said. I will take sickness out of your midst. And I will bring divine deliverance and divine healing to you. I will heal your sick. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I will make you rich, and I will add no sorrow, God said. If you'll humble your heart before me, and if they that are called by my name, if they will humble their hearts, if they'll call upon me, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. What a wonderful thing to have a clean heart. What a wonderful experience to be clean on the inside, not filled with vain imagination, not listening to heresy, not seeing strong delusions, not having your body racked with pain, not having misery in your body. What a great experience to be a believer and have God fighting your battles for you and God guiding you everywhere that you go and feel the tender care and concern of Almighty God. What a great experience that is to be a real, genuine, blood-bought son of God. You know, though we make mistakes and though we might do something that's a little contrary to God, not meaning to, sometimes we may stumble, sometimes under pressure, we may say the wrong thing. And David said, in my haste I said it. My heart wasn't in it, but in my haste I said it. Sometimes in saying something or doing something out of pressure, that which we should not have done, yet God will be tender. And God will be kind. And we go to our prayer closet and we cry unto Jesus. And we say, Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I love you. Then God will forgive us. You know, sometimes we are such a hard, cruel, hard-hearted people. You know, God forgives my sins every day. God forgives your sins every day. But let a drunkard or a harlot come along that stumble and tries to get back up. And we say, the old slut, the old whoremonger, the old whore, the old robber. And we push them back down and we put our feet upon them and we don't want to give them a chance. But God said at any time, if a person has done wrong, if a person has done evil, if that person will repent of their sins, if they truthfully will repent of their sins and call upon me, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them and I will heal their lands. If a man does wrong, if a man does evil, and if that man will truthfully turn to God and say, Jesus, help me, and not play a game with God, not just do these things every day and beg for mercy when you know that you're doing evil, but truthfully you stumble, truthfully you didn't mean to do it, truthfully you didn't want to do it, and when you stumble, you get up and you say, God, forgive me of my sins. God will forgive you of your sins. But beware, children of God and people, beware. If you practice evil, you're going to taste of the wrath of God. If you just use the grace of God so that you can repent, use the grace of God so that you can do your evil and then go back and repent, after a while, God is going to get upset with you. Because the Bible said, Leaving the foundation of repentance. Therefore, getting away from the foundation, God said, don't lay that foundation over and over. Let's build the house. Let's build the house. Don't lay the foundation over and over. Don't do the wicked, evil things that you know is wrong, that you will have to go back and say, my God, forgive me. Don't do those wicked, evil things when you know that God doesn't want you to do that. Did you know, you that sit out there and watch TV from time to time in your homes? You that sit in the front of a TV and you know when you're looking at it that it's not godly, and you know that it's not virtuous, and you know it is not expedient, and you know that it's not profitable to God nor the kingdom of God. And all that you're hearing is some carnal thing that somebody has got together, or some carnal program that somebody has put together. All you're seeing is that which Hollywood has produced. And because it's satisfying and exciting to your intellect, you continue to watch it. Don't you know that God will send you to hell? Don't you know that that is strong delusions that God is sending you? Don't you know that you are a make-believer and that you are not a true child of God? Don't you know the Bible said our eyes are purer than to look upon evil? And you sit and watch those worldly things? Don't you know that you watch those things for one reason, and that is because you have the love of the world in you and you don't have the love of God? You would not sit in the front of a TV and watch those things that are worldly unless you had a hunger for them, unless you had a desire for them. You cannot be a child of God and do that. You have a perverted nature. You are not born to the Holy Spirit. You have the love of the world in you. And that's why you hunger and thirst after the things of the world. But you know, God speaks to us concerning His Word and concerning the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells us to hunger and thirst after the Word of God. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. For those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I'll have you to know, I watch these things, but I am a believer. And I agree with you. You are a believer. You are a make-believer. You're certainly not a child of God. It certainly is not faith. You are a make-believer, and that's why you do those things. But brothers and sisters, when you get to be a believer, then you'll believe what God's Word tells you about those things. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. We might as well accept that, else we are a make-believer. If I do not accept that statement, I am a make-believer. So then if the love of the world is in you, you will hunger after the world. You will thirst after the world. But if the love of God is in you, you will hunger and thirst after the things of God. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you know, I try to make myself be interested in spiritual things, but I just enjoy those ball games and the things of the world so much. You're never going to make your spirit hunger after the things of God because you're not born of God's Spirit. And if you just enjoy those things so much, it's because you need to be born again. Don't try to make yourself miserable, trying to make your spirit come after the things of God when you're hungering after something else. Don't do that. Why not go on with the world and enjoy sin for a season? Because you are a make-believer, you're not a child of God. But let me tell you, when you get born again, brother, won't nobody have to tell you to stay away from the filth of the TV and the filth of the radio and the filth of the magazines and the filth of the newspaper? Nobody will have to tell you to stay away from filthy jokes. There is something on the inside of you that will detest that. There is something, there is the nature of Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That nature of Jesus, it will say, hear ye the word of the Lord. And that nature of Christ will cry out against that. And there will be something on the inside that will say, feed me God's word. Feed me with God's presence. And there will be something that will lead you to the services of God and the house of God. And there will be something that will lead you to the bedside to kneel down and pray. There will be something that will make you feel holy and godly and just thrill over the things of God and have such a longing to go after those things. You know, a person that smokes dope, they've got that in their system and they have a desire for it. A person that smokes cigarettes, they've got a desire for it and they just long to go after that cigarette. That little whiff of smoke can just come up in their nostrils from anywhere and they'll just long after that cigarette. Isn't that right? So then, that is the way it is with God. If you have an appetite for spiritual things, you will yearn for the spiritual things of God. You will want to do God's will. You won't have to make yourself do it. Let me say this right hurriedly here. There is what you call will worship. You know, people that will themselves to go to church. People that will themselves to give in the offering. People that will themselves to pray. People that will themselves to try to do something for the poor. They don't have a yearning to do it. They don't have a hunger and a thirst for it. They don't desire to do it. But they think about the wrath of God. And they think about being lost. And so they say, I've got to do this now. I've got to do this. I can't afford to do any other way. I must do this because I can't bear the thoughts of being lost. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You will still die and go to hell because you are a make-believer. When you get the nature of God and the Spirit of God, you don't have to make yourself go to church. You don't have to make yourself fellowship the brethren. Let me say this right hurriedly. I've got numbers of men here. They'd rather be home with their wife and children than be fellowshipping the brethren. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, isn't that the right thing to do is love your wife and love your children? I got a feeling your wife would love for you to get out of the house long enough to where she can get you off of her mind long enough to do something, and then she could love you. Some of you stay around her so much and won't work and won't do nothing until one day she'll despise you if you don't do something. Somebody say hallelujah or amen or something. But I've got men, and they won't come and fellowship the brethren. They'll come in and out and they'll stay 10 or 15 minutes. They don't listen to anything the pastor says or the conversation of the brethren. And they're gone and maybe back for 15 minutes a day or two later. You know, those brethren don't have anything. Let's face it, they don't have anything. Somebody says, old Brother Pike, they've got something, but they're just different. Yeah, they've got something and they're different, all right. I'll tell you what, they don't have anything. When people have the love of God, that is, the men folk are going to be around the men folk. If you've got the love of God, you're going to get to them brethren, wife or no wife, children or no children. I don't care what comes up before you, there's something that's going to make you get to those brethren. And it's the same way with the sisters. If you're born again of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find those sisters and you're going to fellowship with those sisters. Now, let's just look at it like this. How could I disfellowship my right arm? Somebody would say, well, you could get along without it. I know I would, but my belly sure would go hungry. It is impossible for me to disfellowship my hands and feed my belly. I've got to have fellowship with my arms and fellowship with my hands if I intend to feed my belly and stop the hunger of it. See, we're fellows. We work together. Isn't that right? My hand feeds my mouth, and my mouth feeds my belly, and my belly gives off strength so that my hands might have strength to feed my mouth and satisfy my belly. And so it is with the members of Christ. There is a membership of the body of the Lord. And brother, if you do not fellowship those members, you are not part of that body. You can say what you want to, but you're not part of that body. You can say, well, I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that and I'm busy over here. But all it amounts to is that you are carnal minded and you've got your own thing going. And that is an intellectual brainstorm with you and you are not part of that body. Somebody would say, well, I would come, Brother Pike, but my wife. I'll tell you what, when you get enough of God in you, wife or no wife, you'll find the brethren and you'll fellowship the brethren, and the wife can say what she wants to. You'll walk right out while she's saying it. You take a drunkard that's a real drunkard. His wife can pull her hair, she can turn cartwheels, she can curse him, she can throw the vase at him, but when liquor time comes, he's going to get his buddies and the bottle. You know why? Because he's born of it. And she can say, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to leave you. But he'll still come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, singing and a vomiting and a saying, I'm home, honey. You know why? He's a liquor head. And I'll tell you what, when you get to be a Godhead and you get drunk off of the Holy Spirit, you'll come home in the morning and the wife will say something to you, but it'll still be the same. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. I'll tell you what, if you keep on, You know that liquor head, he keeps on until the wife finally said, well, there ain't but one thing to do, and that's just to have two liquor heads in the house. And they both get to be liquor heads. And then they get along all right. And you know that's the way it is with God. After a while, that wife will say, well, I'll tell you one thing. Whatever he's got, I'll never get it out of him. I might as well to get in there with him. If I can't beat him, they say, just join him. Somebody say hallelujah. You say, how do you know all of that? Because I've been down that trail. I know where it leads to. When a person loves God, they're going to fellowship the brethren. Somebody said, well, it just bothers me, Brother Pye. I sat around them for a little while and I'm ready to go. Yeah, I know you are. Usually because they get on your toes and the things they say, it kind of singes the hair a little bit. But I'll tell you what, if you'll stay around a little bit, you'll be a better man. And I'll tell you ladies something too. If some of you ladies would send your husband over there once in a while and quit mumbling and grumbling because you're afraid they might give an offering or get caught in doing something for God, if you'd send them over there with the brethren a little bit, you'd have a better husband too. You'd have a man instead of what the world calls a mouse. You love Jesus? Now, I believe in doing something for God. It's like the song I wrote, let's do something for Jesus. Let my light shine so that others might see. Let me do something for Jesus because Jesus has done so much for me. That's the way I believe it. We ought to do something for God. And if you're interested in God, you're going to be around and you're going to find out what's going on. If you love God and you're interested in God's work, you're not going to run up there and stay 30 minutes and jump in the car and go here and there and be over yonder and everywhere and come back and stay 30 minutes and be over yonder and around. I'll tell you, some of you wives would do well to harness your husband and get him with the brethren. Because all they do is ride the road going here and there, and their mind is filled with a bunch of garbage and natural things, and they feed off of them things all day long, and they ain't worth 15 cents to the church, to the wife, or to themselves. I hope nobody don't live on that street. As I said the other night, that's what they call Crooked Avenue. Some of you women ain't worth 15 cents to your children, to your home, to your companion. All you do is roam the roads. Now it sounds like I done quit preaching and got to meddling. Somebody said he's quit preaching, he's got to meddling. Now that isn't what it is. I just know the street that you live on. I know the street that you live on. Glory to God, I tell you, when you get this thing like the Bible reads, you're going to be around them brethren. You're going to say, I wonder what they're talking about. I wonder what they're talking about. Sometimes Brother Gary comes in, you know, he's just like this. He said, what did you say? What did you say? What did I miss? He just can't hardly wait to get there. That's the way it is. Somebody say, well, what are you talking about? You got a wife and she's a good cook like my mother-in-law back here. And she can start cooking biscuits or cake and you get near the door and you just follow your nose and you want to know what's going on. You know, you try to keep it and don't say nothing. But then after a while you say, did you bake a cake? I've done it a lot of times. Go into her house at 3 o'clock in the morning and I go to sniffing, you know. And I say, Miss Gray, you just don't by chance have a piece of cake. She said, well, thanks so. It's wonderful, folks, to love Jesus. And it's even more wonderful, you know, when you really get down to business to do a service for Jesus. I love you, and all I'm asking you to do is hear ye the word of the Lord. That's all I'm asking you to do. Is to hear the word of the Lord. We need to hear the word of the Lord and incorporate this in our life that we might be a vessel that is made unto honor. I want you to stand with me. Thank you for your kind attention. Don't forget the church job that Brother McLean is doing. He and some of the brethren are working to try to do something for the house of God. The Bible said that there might be meat in my house. Trying to pay the bills, help with those things of paying the bills, keeping the lights on, keeping heat, publishing the gospel abroad throughout the world. It takes a concern. It takes some help. A lot of times, folks, there's no bread and meat over at your house because you didn't have any concern about God's house. You don't have a job because you was not willing to work and do a little something for God when they needed you. Jesus said that if you would do something for His house and consider His house, that He would bless you. He said, you labor, you bring in much, it comes to little. You put it into bags with holes in it because you did not consider my house, and you let my house lay waste. I look tonight, I can think of three men right off like that. Three men that's supposed to be real religious men, supposed to be leaders at Bethlehem, supposed to be people that's doing right. I look, I don't see one of them. Numbers of others, men and women alike, that belong to the church and belong to the work of God. No interest. Plenty of interest when it comes to eating and drinking. Plenty of interest when it comes to fellowship in the sense of sitting around doing nothing. I see them often down here. They'll sit there all day long with a Coke in their hand and a bag of popcorn or whatever. Got plenty of strength, but when it comes to the house of God, they're so tired. They're so weary, they just can't come. You know what it is? If you use up all of your time for the devil, all of your strength for the devil, all of your money and mind for the devil, and the gluttony and the lust of the flesh, you're not going to have any for God. You're not going to have any strength for God, and you're not going to have any time for God because you give it all to the devil. But one of these days, you're going to come down to the end of the road. Those men and different ones of such nature, I notice that some of them, when they have a need, they're so quick to seek out the pastor and the brethren. Some of them that had no time for the brothers, have no time for the pastor nor the word of God. Just as quick as they have a need and their belly begins to lack, and they feel like they don't have a place to live, they find so much fellowship with the pastor, and so much, they have so much concern about the brotherhood. But one of these days, God is going to bring them to their end. I've said this before, I've got people, sad to say, that comes to the sanctuary that they would live in a shack to keep from working and let their babies and their wife go hungry and accuse everybody that don't give them a meal ticket before they'll be a man and take on responsibility. They'll let their wives live in a hut, go cold and hungry, and they'll try to get the cheapest place they can find to keep from doing nothing. It don't matter if it jeopardizes the wife's life or health or sanity or whatever it might be. That's such a poor state of manhood. That's so poor. So poor. You know, folks, let's confess one thing. That if we all worked as good as we eat, this would be a great world, wouldn't it? The Bible said in the last days they'll be eating and drinking. Doesn't say anything about working much. But oh, what a wonderful thing it would be. The Bible said, blessed is a nation when their king eats for strength and is not one to party or eat just for gluttony. How blessed is that nation? It signifies to the public intelligence, understanding when a man takes that outlook. Let's sing this little chorus together as we come to the close of the service. Let's sing this little chorus, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy, joy forever. I've got joy, joy forever. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Now, if you've got peace like a river tonight, we sang that song, A Stream is Flowing. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And you can draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. Tonight, if you've got peace like a river, I want you to sing it with me again, can you? I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy, it's joy forever. I've got joy, joy forever. I've got joy like a river in my soul. Sing it again. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy, it's joy forever. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. You know what causes a person to have joy like a river? What causes that person to have peace like a river? When they honor the Word of God, and when they obey the Word of the Lord, and when they hear the Word of Jesus, and they incorporate it in their lives, then they find the satisfaction. They convince their heart that they love Jesus, and faith arises that all is well, and that they are secure in the abundance of His concern and mercy. Oh, I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy, joy forever. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got peace, peace forever. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Let's sing this little song. We'll enter His gates with thanksgiving. Can we do that? I'm gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Want to enter His courts with faith. I'm gonna say this is the day that my Jesus has made. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me. Gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in the heart. Gonna enter His courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that Jesus hath made. And we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Jesus made us glad. I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me. Let's sing it one more time, can we? Going to enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter His courts with praise. Gonna say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. And we're gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Somebody say hallelujah. Going to enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Going to enter His courts with praise. I'm going to say this is the day that my Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Sing it with me. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Well, Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me. Say hallelujah one more time. He hath made me glad. Well, Jesus made me glad. I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. He hath made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I'm going to rejoice 'cause Jesus made me glad. Praise the Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise God. I believe you really are glad tonight. You know, if you're not a make-believer, then deep down in your heart, you really truly are glad. And tonight, Jesus has made me glad. I'm telling you the truth. There was one time in my life that I was perhaps the saddest person that ever lived in all the world. I was so sad and brokenhearted because I thought that I was cut off from life and from God and had no hope. And I was so sad. You don't know how sad you can be. But one day He broke through and the light of His mercy and the glory and joy of His gladness came through. And oh, He made me glad. And tonight, I tell you the truth from my heart. I am glad, folks. I am glad. I have a lovely, stirring, soul-arousing gladness within my heart. And I'm so happy because Jesus made me glad. And because of that reason, I continue to preach. I continue to bubble like the little spring in the little fountain. I can't quit bubbling because of that. Brother Taylor and him sings that song, I'm bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. And I can't stop bubbling for Jesus. I'm glad. And you know what makes me so happy is to think that instead of it getting, you know, instead of Satan suppressing it, it's going to get greater and greater until it just, you know, it'll be so great and mighty as I become eternal with God, so great and mighty it'll bubble throughout eternity. It'll get so great and mighty till it'll look like Old Faithful. Praise God. All right, as you bow your heads with me tonight, let's don't forget the cause of Christ. Tomorrow, every day, I and those that care enough to aid me, we have the great responsibility of God's work. God makes us a pillar in the temple of our God. He that will accept responsibility and he that overcometh in the earth, he is a pillar that holds up the kingdom of God. For he that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Those that care, I appreciate you so much in helping me. I trust that others will develop and others will become concerned that we might do something altogether for the needy and the poor and for Jesus. Let your light so shine that other men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And let's do something at Bethlehem like has never been done in all of the history of mankind. And let's hurl this gospel around the entire world, that when we stand before God Almighty and the great Jehovah, that He will look at us and say, "You little Bethlehemites, I love you. I love you, little Bethlehemites. You loved me and my kingdom and my way so much that you've done all that you could in every way to get my name around the world and to exalt my name and to help the needy and the poor." Wouldn't that be wonderful if He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and now I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord that has been prepared for thee from the foundation of the world." Ask Brother Pascal to come up and pray for you tonight, to pray for your soul and to pray for your prosperity, to pray that God will bless you. You know, it's something that I should call Brother Pascal up. Was it yesterday, Franklin's birthday, was it? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Something happened yesterday, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's birthday. Something took place. I thought maybe I might relate it tonight, but I didn't get to. But I was just thinking, Brother Pascal, he brought me, you know, sometimes people bring you little things that mean so much. And he brought me a little cup. And I don't know where he got the picture or how he did it, but he put my picture. And it was an inlay within the cup. And somebody had spoke of some resemblance, you know, concerning this. And it's amazing the things that take place and the way that God works everything after the counsel of His own will. You know, people bring me little things. I know the Bible teaches that priests love gifts and gifts will pervert judgment. And I stayed away from gifts and I don't take personal gifts, but people do bring little gifts to the home, or they bring gifts to us. And I try to stay away from money and those kind of things, but they bring little gifts to us to show their love and their concern. Maybe a sister, she'll bring over a pie or a cake, or maybe they'll bring over, you know, something. Maybe the brethren, they bring over something. They're always doing some little something like that for us. And it's such a thrill to know that they care. Not so much that which they bring, but the concern that inspired them to do it, knowing that they care and that they're concerned about us and our welfare. It's such a thrill. Some of them, Brother Ron, and some of them, they make me moccasin boots and they made me coats, all kind of things. And I just think it's so wonderful and so marvelous that people are like that. Tonight, let's bow our heads together and let's learn to love one another. And let's always be thinking about the good that we can do for one another. And Jesus will bless you and dwell at your house. Brother Pascal.